Good morning, everybody. I think we will be having a bit more of a sprint than a stroll here. A couple weeks ago, we had a sharing time. Ryan showed a great little video about our identity and who we are, and I'd like to expand on that a little bit. And so today I'm going to ask you the question, who are you? And if anybody has a little song in their head, it's not that "Who Are You" song. So you think about, how do you describe yourself? You know, right now, if somebody came up and said, "So, you know, Bill, who are you?" What comes to mind? Do you think about kind of who you are relationally? You know, I'm a mother, I'm a father, I'm an uncle, a grandpa, you know, a son or daughter. Or do you think about what you do? I'm a student. You know, I'm a plumber, a farmer, a salesperson, you know, realtor, things like that. That's who I am. Or is it what you enjoy doing? I'm an athlete. I'm a nerd. I'm a gamer, a runner, you know, a singer, you know, things like that. Is that who you are? Or being a little bit more introspective and serious, do you wear one of those labels? You know, I'm a sinner. I'm a loser. I'm a failure. I mean, there are people that go through life, and some of you might be in this room that are challenged with, I'm a victim. That's who I am. Something happened to me. I'm a victim. I'm an addict. I just can't get over it. That's who I am. I'm worthless. So, second question is, so who gets to define you? Is that up to you? Do you get to make that determination? What defines you? How about your family? Does your spouse or your parent, or do they get to say, now this is who you are? I'm going to tell you right now who you are. How about the world? We love to hear what the world has to say. They love labels. They love to have holes to push your peg into and say, this is who you are. Well, I would say no. The answer is the Creator God is the one who gets to tell us who we are. He created the universe. He created you. He knit you in your mother's womb. You're not an accident. You're here on purpose. He will tell us who we are. So I'm going to take the rest of the time here and do a sprint through Ephesians 1 through 3, where it tells us how God sees us if we're a Christian. So the world is divided into two groups, those who are on the narrow path, have selected Christ, who have accepted his gift of eternal life, the sacrifice that he's made, and those that are on the wide path. The rest of this time will describe you if you are on that narrow path, if you've received God's gift of eternal life. And this is going to seem really strange because we don't think of ourselves this way, but it's how God thinks of us. And I'm not a gamer, but I know there's a thing called an avatar that people will create that represents who they'd like to be. They'd like to have unlimited strength and character and size, but it's not real. It's a fake thing. And yet what we're going to read is real. We don't feel this way, but when God looks at us, it's who we are because of what Christ did for us. Not because of what we've done, but because of what Christ did for us. So let's get started. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to who? To the saints. So this book is written to the saints. And if you think a saint means somebody that lives an amazing godly life, has done a miracle, gets a book of the Bible named after them, or a church, that's not what we're talking about here. This word, the saints, means those set apart. So that means you. You've been set apart by God. So you are a saint. That's who you are. To the saints at Ephesus who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Do you feel faithful? Feelings lie. Our faith is given to us by God. God sees us as faithful. Faithful in Christ Jesus. And then it says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are graced, and in Carl's mode, I made up a word this week, peaced. I think we are peaced people. And that's how God has created us. He has given us that grace, unmerited favor, not anything we have earned or deserved. And he's given us this peace, peace beyond comprehension, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So just in the first two verses, we have four things that are attributes. Moving on to verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. So we're blessed people. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us. We've been chosen. Feel special about that. I mean, there's people that have not been chosen. It's a mystery how that happens, but you have been chosen in him before the foundation of the world so that we would be holy and blameless. Do you feel holy and blameless? Do you act holy and blameless? Well, probably not. You know, on a daily basis, we are probably not particularly holy and not particularly blameless. And yet, like that avatar, when God looks at us, he sees us holy and blameless, not because of what we've done, but because of what Christ has done for us. So he sees us that way. That's who we are. In love, he has predestined us. You know, he chose us here as adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself. Now, if you don't know much about adoption, I do. We are adoptive parents. And one of the cool things about adoption is you get to pick whether or not you want to be somebody's parent. It doesn't just happen. And it's the same way here. We have been chosen by God. He has chosen to bring us into his family, treat us as a son. When you adopt someone, they are as if they were blood. You know, you don't think of them any other way. You love them and you give them all that you have. And so we are adopted into God's family as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise and the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. So just here in the first six verses, we've got a pretty good list going. Moving on, verse 7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood. So we're a redeemed people. That's part of your identity. Through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. We're a forgiven people. That's part of your identity. According to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. Verse 9, he made known to us the mystery of his will. So we have been enlightened. We've been given the opportunity to understand something that the rest of the world does not. This mystery of the gospel, this great exchange of one for another is made known to us. So we are enlightened. Skipping up to 11, in him we also have obtained an inheritance. So we're heirs. We're going to receive all the gifts and promises that the Lord has in his kingdom in heaven, having predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. To the end of that, we who were the first of hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. So if we've been designed for praise, we are worshipers. That's part of your identity. If you don't feel like worshiping, well, feelings lie. You need to be worshiping to God. So I'm going to skip a bit more into verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of his glory toward the inheritance of the saints. So we're rich. We've been given an amazing inheritance here. Verse 19, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us? So if his power is toward us, that means we've been given his power. We are empowered with an amazing set of power. Those who believe. These are in accordance with the workings of the strength of his might. So what is this power? This power that he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead. It's that dynamos power. It's where we get the word dynamite from. And that's the power that raised him from the dead, and that's our power. and seated him at the right hand of the heavenly places, verse 21, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him over as head over all things to the church, which is his body. So we are his body. That's part of who we are. We are not lone rangers. We are to be part of the group that's the church, the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So just chapter one, we've got a pretty good list going of who you really are, not who the world would say. So jumping into Ephesians 2, moving to verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, what did he do? He made us alive. So we're not dead in trespasses. We're not dragging through this world. He has lifted us up with that dynamic dynamite power and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And further, he has raised us up with him. That's part of who we are. We have been raised up with him and seated with Christ. We're seated with him in the heavenly places. That's part of who we are. So that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness. So we're graced once again. And by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship. That's part of who we are. We were created by God as his workmanship to do what? We're created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we would walk in them. So again, we are not losers. We are not addicts. We are not just, you know, what we do. We've been created for a great and noble purpose. Continuing on in verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. This is an amazing thing. Before Christ, you couldn't go into the Holy Temple and approach the Holy of Holies, the presence of God. That had to be done by a special priest. But now we have been brought near. We have been given that access. We are brought right in by the blood of Christ. Verse 14, for he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing the flesh, the enmity, which is the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both into one body. So again, we are united into that body through to God through the cross, having put to death the enmity. Moving on to verse 17, and he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. So, you know, that brought near, it's that access that we have. We have access. So that then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens. So we're citizens of the kingdom of God with the saints, and who are of God's household. That word household is talking about kinfolk. So you are part of God's kin, you know, you are our brothers and sisters. You know, Christ is part of our family. You know, we aren't the servant. We are part of the family of God's household. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. So part of who you are is indwelled. You're not just a human walking around. We have the Spirit of God indwelled in us. We're not a loser. We're not a sinner. We are indwelled with the Spirit of God. So, heading in for home with Ephesians chapter 3 here. Going to skip to verse 6. To be specific, that the Gentiles, are fellow heirs. So again, that we're heirs, we've seen that before, and fellow members of the body. We're part of that body, we're members, and fellow partakers of the promise. We get to keep and use that promise every day for now and forever. Promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel, of which I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power. Moving on to verse 8. To me, the very least, and this is Paul writing, the very least of all saints, the grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery for ages has been hidden in God who created all things. So we're talking about that mystery that we heard about a little earlier that we've gotten some knowledge of. So verse 10, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church. So we are instruments. Part of who we've been created to be is to be his instruments, to take that great news, that mysterious transformation of our sin to put on him. So it's being made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. Again, when we have that direct access to go to God with our petitions, we don't have to, you know, come and plead and hope that he'll answer. We have boldness not because of what we've done, but because he sees us through the blood of Christ. And therefore, we have bold and confident standing to go directly to God the Father. Therefore, I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations on your behalf, for they are your glory. For this reason, Paul writes, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power. So he sees us as strengthened through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts, again, calling us indwelled, through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses all knowledge, that you be filled up to the fullness of God. And of course, that love there in verse 19 is agape love. It's the love this church is named after. It's the love of God that means that he continues to love us whether we're unlovable or not. It's a choice that he's made, and it's a permanent choice. We get to bask in that love. And now to him, and this is the verse that Anthony read, and now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So, again, we are empowered. We have that dynamite. The same power that raised him from the dead is the power that we have been given. So, with that sprint through chapters 1 through 3, now, how do you describe yourself? Do you still use those kind of worldly thoughts? It's tempting to do that. As we go through the day, as we experience, you know, something goes wrong, we know that we've made a mistake, we've let somebody down, we feel defeated, we feel unworthy, and yet, how God sees you is not based on how you did today. Because of what Christ did, he sees us as saint, faithful, graced, peaced, blessed, chosen, holy, blameless, predestined, adopted, redeemed, forgiven, enlightened, heirs of the riches of heaven, a worshiper, rich, empowered. He sees us as his body. He sees us alive and raised up, seated with Christ, graced. We are his workmanship, created for good works. He's brought us near, united us in the body, given us total access. We're citizens. We're kinfolk. We're indwelled with his Spirit. Again, we're heirs. We're members, partakers, instruments here on earth. We have bold, confident access. We're strengthened, again, indwelled, loved, and empowered. Every day that you go through life, you will be tempted by this world to think of yourself not this way, because Satan wants to grind you down. He wants you to feel defeated. He wants you to feel powerless. He wants you to feel guilty. And yet, our sins are forgiven yesterday, today, and forever. As far as the east is from the west, he has forgotten our sins. We live in that power today. Let's keep this in mind. Remember Ephesians 1 through 3. So, if you bow with me. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for your promises and this concise set of concentrated attributes of the way you see us. You don't see us the way we see ourselves. You see us perfectly. You see us how you created us to be. We thank you for choosing us and bringing us into your kingdom. And we just pray for those that are outside that they would understand the gospel, they would receive it, and that they too would be able to live in this victory and with this power. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.